Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Hebrews 10, 22 and 23.
As we look at the importance of prayer today, Janie and I will uncover some beautiful promises that the Lord has given to us. We will also discover the things that get in the way of our prayer life and find what hinders our prayers.
Prayer is to the spiritual man what breathing is to the natural man. So the spiritual man can no more exist without prayer than the natural man without breathing. Okay, Janie.
I would hate to try to pray without the Holy Spirit.
Do you think that we're praying with our natural being? Do you think that that's why we're having such a hard time understanding prayer?
Yeah, I would have to say you've probably hit on a real sensitive nerve, because if we don't realize that our sins, our actions, our deeds, and our words have been forgiven by the blood and we have been redeemed, but you can't redeem your old nature.
Okay.
It's not changeable. It's not fixable. And so the Lord said it had to be crucified, and he knew we couldn't do that of our own, so he took care of that at the cross. But that understanding is almost like a secret doctrine of the word. You don't hear people describing the fact that back when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he positionally went ahead and took care of your old man for you, so you could have the freedom to choose with your will to let the Holy Spirit be the guide in your prayer of life.
Yeah.
So once again, that doctrine of knowing your sins, your actions are forgiven, but your old flesh must be crucified. And it is in the past tense in Romans 6:6, not the present tense. We need to keep living what has already been done for us. But in the Greek, there is a tense that it's a one-time action with a continuing fruit, or the continuing results that go on and on and on and on. And that's really where 1 John 1:9 comes in. A lot of people, Sharon, get really discouraged because they confess their sins.
Uh-huh.
And they believe they're forgiven. Then they mess up again, and they believe they have to go back and completely fess over, like it's a new forgiveness.
So start all over from scratch because it didn't work the first time.
Yes, whereas in Colossians, he says that he has forgiven us once and for all forever. So it would be like coming back in and saying, Lord, I know that my sins were forgiven at the cross once and for all. But Father, my old man doesn't want to accept that. And so I have messed up here, but I'm going to use the Christian wash rag, which is they call 1 John 1:9. I'm going to agree with you that you have already forgiven me my sins. I'm going to go ahead and confess them to you because it keeps my conscience clear. And my conscience is an important part in my prayer life.
Right.
So I clear my conscience so that the forgiveness that you have already forgiven me can freely flow, so that our fellowship continues to be of one of mine and one accord. Now, does that make sense?
That's keeping short accounts, like you have taught us to do in the past. And so if we're not practicing that, then that's something that would help us keep that natural man at bay, so that we are not praying in the natural and can allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayer life. So part of our problem with prayer is the fact that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life. Our natural man is getting in the way.
You will never know the power of God until you are walking by the Spirit. Now you may know of it as far as knowledge is concerned.
I've seen it, I've read about it, but not know it for yourself in a
That's right.
In an intimate, personal.
Yeah. And if you want to know the power of God, which he says is freely given to all who will take it, then we have to be able to have that flesh crucified, and we'll know that. You know, Sharon, we'll know that the Spirit is walking in us and working through us when our natural response to things is joy. The Holy Spirit's joyful. All right?
Okay.
And so when you wake up of a morning and you know you've got some stiffness, but there's just a quiet joy in you, you know the Holy Spirit's with you ready to start the day. And as soon as that joy gets dissipated into fretting, anxiety, your peace, you can tell, is passing away.
Which may happen when you go to work.
Which...
And face the world.
Yes, and sometimes, unfortunately, it can happen when you go to church.
Yes.
Okay? Because there are opinions that can be flowing there when there should be just the Spirit flowing through us. But my counsel from failure as well as the Spirit being sufficient is, as soon as I sense that my peace is broken, I have to stop whatever I'm doing. I didn't used to do that. But now I stop and say, I sense with my senses, the five senses that we have in the nature, we also have spiritual senses. I stop and to say, okay, Lord, where are my thoughts grievous that I have either grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit? And I, at that point in time, need to acknowledge that those thoughts were wrong. They were from me. They weren't from the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I agree that I have been forgiven. I ask the Holy Spirit to restore his joy in me, and I pick up and go on.
Well, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
That's right. Now, people need to know that God's omniscient. So basically, that hearing means he hears every word we think before we even think it. But that term means he's not going to be able to answer us according. If we regard sin in our heart, that's broken the power with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And it doesn't threaten our salvation if we're truly a believer. But that's where we need the restoration of the confession.
If we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we'll know when there's iniquity there and can confess that sin.
Yes. Now, there's one qualification that I think we probably need to speak about, and that is the conscience works with the Holy Spirit. In Romans 2, I believe it's around 14 or 15, it tells us that we are to keep a clear conscience. Let's just go read that, Sharon.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to flip to. In Romans 2, it says, therefore you're inexcusable, O man or woman, whoever you are who judge, in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself because you who judge practice the same things. So when I've got a critical, opinionated spirit about somebody, that's usually because whatever I don't like in them is what the Lord doesn't like in me, and he's using them to show me what he doesn't like in me.
Right. Okay. Okay. Uh-huh.
Then you flip over to, in that same chapter, Romans 2, you flip over to verses 14. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and between themselves and their thoughts, either accusing or else excusing. So what that passage is saying is the Holy Spirit works within the conscience.
Okay.
So we want to keep the conscience clear. So we have the conscience, and when it's sensitive and being moved by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will say, like in a check game, check, checkmate, okay, we excuse this because it is right on, or we accuse you because this is not right on. So the Holy Spirit uses your conscience.
Okay.
So if you have sinned, then your conscience doesn't operate. It's like, can I say, it's like the bunny that has the batteries, and you got the batteries taken out.
Yeah. Okay.
And the batteries have been taken out. It's not working right. So the Holy Spirit then is at a deficit to find other ways to work with you, because your conscience is kind of like maybe his...
It's seared.
Well, and seared is one of the worst ones. Mm-hmm. You can be seared, you can be weak, you can be wounded, you can be defiled, you can be, have a good, you can have a true. There's all different ways a conscience can function. And that's really a neat study.
Okay.
Because a weak conscience, if it is not dealt with, will go to a wounded conscience. And a wounded conscience can go to a defiled conscience. And a defiled conscience can go to a seared conscience, where you don't even ascertain right and wrong anymore.
Okay.
So,
all right. So keeping short accounts is vital.
It's vital for your conscience, so the right. Spirit has its tool that it wants to work through, so that you can discern
right.
what's right and what's not right. You can get a check, and then you'll know okay. if your spirit is losing its peace.
Okay. So what are some other things that hinder us in prayer besides our conscience? What else stops the Holy Spirit from moving in our life and guiding us?
Sharon, I think probably there it is a wrong attitude.
Okay.
And so many of us, if we have had wrong thought patterns, and when I say wrong, sometimes that doesn't have to mean full of venom and hate. It can just be where maybe I have a little sympathy with some measure of sin. I may think, oh, that's not such a big deal. It doesn't matter that I use my words to manipulate a situation.
Or told a little white lie.
Or just told a little white okay. lie. Sometimes we want to justify something that we want to do, so we go in and we question things, and we create doubt in our mind. And okay. that develops a wrong attitude, because doubt can be a stage before unbelief.
Okay.
Now, there are times when doubting has a positive aspect, so we don't want to make everything just black and white. Well,
how does doubting have a positive aspect, Janie?
Well, if I see something questionable and there's something that gives me a check in my spirit, I may doubt whether that person is really right on.
Okay, I gotcha.
Or if I hear something from the pulpit, and I hear this not from the pulpits where you and I have hang out, but I hear, only thing you need to do is to get saved. And once you're saved and going to heaven, then it's just kind of fruit basket upset until you get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I'm really wanting to grow, I'm going to think the ultimate goal in Jesus Christ dying on the cross was not just to get me out of hell and into heaven.
Right.
That's like
right.
the open door. But then if I decide, and I'm taught that that's all there is to the Christian life, then once I'm saved, then I'm really free to do whatever I want, because right. I'm going to heaven.
Right.
So then I need to doubt that.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yes.
And that's
yes.
where we need discernment that we've talked about in the past, and a clear conscience. Now we're adding to.
So we're not talking about doubting the Spirit. We're talking about doubting
prophets or words that are getting
words,
you know,
right. okay.
What is it? The Lord helps those that helps themselves. That's not a scriptural, but some people think that's in the Bible. I don't know. It must be in Utopia 102 or something, because I can't find it. But we have these cliches. We
yeah.
have these traditions of thought. And the Holy Spirit will give us a quiet little check, but we may then just try to justify it rather than go, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting a check here. I need mm-hmm. to pursue.
Because we're not being sensitive to the
there
Holy Spirit.
You go. There you go.
And allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. So therefore, we are getting ourselves into a bit of a mess.
Danger zone.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
there's even a more subtle way, Sharon.
Okay.
And that is, we have an attitude of indifference or callousness towards things that grieve the Spirit.
Okay.
And part of that, so subtle, is we can see something in maybe a weak Christian, all right? And we can kind of, I'll use the term, just blow it off. Well, that's where they are. Well, you know, Lord, help them,
mm-hmm.
all right? And so we get almost a hardness towards somebody else's weakness.
Okay.
All right. And we become callous towards it rather than going to the Lord in prayer, because he has made us aware of a situation. And now there's a good principle, Sharon. When the Lord makes you aware of something, it's not to go try to fix it immediately. It is to take it to the Lord in prayer and ask him how he wants you to be a part of the solution. And it may never go past you being a prayer warrior for that person.
Right.
On the other hand, because your heart genuinely cares, he may then set up circumstances, and not always pleasant ones, to where he will open a door that you don't have to force open, but you recognize the Lord is saying, you cared, you prayed, now I'm making the situation for you to walk through and be a part of the solution. But if you haven't bathed it in prayer first, you'll probably speak when you should keep the mouth shut.
Okay.
And one of the things that we really have a wrong attitude about is a double standard, Sharon.
It's okay for you, but not for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or it's okay for me and not for you.
Yes. Or let me tell you something that's even sadder. I know a lady who for years walked with this, and yet the Lord was sufficient and she no longer does it. She could have faith for everybody else's healing, for everybody else's growth, but she had nothing but guilt and failure for her own self. And that's where the enemy had taken and held her. She saw herself as a total failure and couldn't live what she had the faith to pray and live for others.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see how subtle that we can get ourselves into wrong attitudes?
Right, right. That's a good one. So what else hinders us from allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and help us through? Because really, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order for our prayers to be more than just words, right?
Absolutely. And one of the tragic wrong attitudes is it's all of grace. Well, you know what? It is all of grace. But that doesn't give me license then to live outside of grace.
Okay.
I could say, and I hope this is not misleading, but grace has its tenets. I'm not going to use the word law because somebody will misuse that, but it has its requirements.
Okay.
I don't say that I'm under grace, therefore I can go live in immorality. Mm-hmm. I don't say I'm under grace so I can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not that grace isn't pouring to us for 24/7. That's the unsearchable riches of Christ. But like a dam holds back water, we can dam the way the grace is being received in us with a wrong attitude, a compromising spirit, a selfish critical nature.
Okay.
So does that make sense on how we can abuse grace and nullify it, even though it's not nullified from God's point?
We nullify it by building a dam
of wrong attitudes and wrong beliefs. Right. Why don't you address because I know you've had a heart change in your own life on forgiveness and unforgiveness.
Well, unforgiveness holds you in such bondage that the Holy Spirit is hindered in being able to speak to you and guide you through your conversation with the Lord. Because if you're in unforgiveness, then Matthew 18 is perfect example. Yeah, that's the perfect parable for what happens to us when we hold on to unforgiveness.
There's a verse. Let me see if I can find it here real quick, Sharon. I think it's Mark 11, 25 and 26. These are Jesus's words. And it says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespass.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass.
Amen.
Now that's got some depths that we probably don't have time to delve into today, but that's scary words.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes, it is.
And the Lord reiterates that principle in the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
All right.
Yes, he does. And that's Matthew 6.
Okay.
And Luke 11.
Okay. So those two passages for anybody who believes they're justified in holding on to a grudge. And oh, Sharon, stop and think. Oh, stop and think about broken relationships through divorce, separation, children turning against parents, parents turning against children, and the unforgiveness because the wounds go so deep.
Yeah. And right. And not just unforgiveness, but we also unconfess sin. And that goes back to keeping those short accounts.
That's
and clear,
right.
Keeping the conscience clear.
That's right.
So.
Well, I think I told you, I don't think we discussed it on air, if we did, forgive me, but that theme song of mine, Moment by Moment, I'm okay?
Uh-huh.
Sharon, try to get in the flesh in one moment. You can't do it. If you're praising the Lord this moment, and then the next moment you continue to praise Him, you don't have time to let your flesh get a foothold in your mind and your emotions. It's when you praise Him, and then 5 minutes later you're doing like the Israelites and murmuring and complaining, that now the enemy says, oh, I heard her words. I know where to go to get my foot in the door with her.
Right.
But if it's a continual praise, even if it's, Lord, I'm weak, I don't understand, but I praise you because you say, and you quote him again, you're really building up a protective zone, a DMZ zone, where it's a safe zone to be. But it's through that praise moment by moment. But we don't. We praise him, and then we go out and we murmur and complain and are critical and comparative. And
is it because we have designated times of praise, designated times of prayer? Like, you know, every Sunday I go to church and that's where I do my worship, my praise.
Oh.
My, you know, we have these, and then every morning I have this specific amount of time that I spend with the Lord, and then we're off to our own daily lives. Is that the mindset that we have?
That's almost that, like what you said earlier. Are you just going to breathe when you go to church? I mean, you know, if prayer is the spirit of the spiritual man, and that's the breath of life, then I think I'd like to be breathing inside church as well as outside church. I'd like to be breathing whatever. We need breath moment by moment so that...
And that is prayer.
And that
for
is prayer.
A, for our spiritual man.
Yes, and we shouldn't think of prayer as... Let's see if we can put a little bit more. Prayer is like breathing. Do you think... Sharon, do you go, okay, I'm going to breathe in. Okay, and I'm going to breathe out. No, you just breathe in and you breathe out. It's
right.
Natural. And that's right. What prayer should be. I'm driving down the highway. Oh, Lord, look at your creation today. It's outstanding. Oh, Father, I see someone crossing the street. Oh, Father, I hear a siren. Somebody's in trouble. I hold that person up to you right now, knowing that you will be with that situation. I praise you that you can be everywhere you need to be for all of us who need you. You just breathe and talk life, but you talk it from his mindset, and it always has a praise as a base. And then as you do that, the Holy Spirit gives you understanding and gives you more reasons on how to pray and, of course, why to pray.
Well, Janie, I think we are short on time, so... Would you close us out in prayer?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Father, we thank you, first of all, that we can come before you freely and offer up our praise to you and appropriate the promises that you've given us. And your heart is so desirous to give us more than what we can ever think about. But you're not talking about fun stuff in life. You're talking about giving us eternal life and all of the benefits that go with walking in your love by your Spirit with a clear conscience and with a heart of love. So, Father, let those tenets become real in our life as the Spirit empowers us, because we know that all things are by you, through you, to you, and for you. And we praise you that you can be our focus in life. We thank you and we love you, and it is in your name and for all that it stands for, we ask this with praise. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.